We're going to continue today. I want to kind of talk about wisdom to end the year and to start the year. So hopefully we'll walk in wisdom. Amen. 2019, going to be a great year. If it isn't, if you haven't declared it yet, start declaring it. But wisdom is very important because to me, wisdom is the ability to apply knowledge in everything that we need to do in life. I mean, you know, we've all probably ran into somebody that's so smart they're stupid. You know what I mean? You know, we don't want to be like that. It's good to have information, but it's better to get revelation. So walking in wisdom, to me, is really walking with God. And if we don't resist it, I believe that as we go through life's journey, we can learn a lot of things, you know, if we just pay attention a little bit. Now, to do this, what I think is that we need to get out of survive mode and get over into thrive mode. You know, because the enemy wants us to always think that we're just barely getting by and barely surviving. But I believe God wants us to get to that area of our life that, you know, we are thriving. You know, I think that we always should have the desire in our heart that we want to be better in everything that we do. Amen. And never put it on coast. Now, the Bible says that we should pursue wisdom. In the book of Proverbs, there's a lot of wisdom there. And, you know, we should pursue it. We need to go after it. And to me, in my life, you know, I always come back to this thought every now and then, and it's talking about the four D's. Daily decisions determine destiny. Daily decisions determine destiny. And it's what we do every day that's going to make an impact on our future right down the road. And I believe that as we seek God and want to walk in His wisdom, and be able to make decisions from a godly way, then I think we're going to start to walk in victory in a deeper way. Now, last week we looked at three major points about wisdom that I kind of think about through the year of 2018. The first one was chestnut checkers. I know some of these sound kind of weird, but, you know, chestnut checkers, meaning, you know, I've played a little chess in my day, but not much, but, you know, checkers and chess are played on very similar boards, but the moves that the pieces make are totally different, and the strategy is totally different. So we looked at the idea that if we want to be successful and be able to walk in wisdom, that we need to be able to think in the areas of chess, because the pieces move all different directions, and really that's the way life is coming at us. You know, life no longer is simple. With all the media and all these different avenues of things coming our way, we're information and we're just being bombarded with it. And so we need to be able to interpret that information and be able to make a wise decision. Next, we look at excellence, not perfection. You know, excellence, not perfection, meaning we should always try to do the best we can, but we have to understand we'll probably never be perfect in the sense of everything that we do. So you need to kind of think about the things that we're doing in life on how much time we can spend on those things. Like I mentioned, I don't spend 24 hours a week on my sermon. Now I spend, you know, time with God and doing that, but I just don't have that time to allocate. So I have to pick how much time I can allocate to different things, and it's as good as it gets, you know, when I get there. You know what I'm saying? And then I trust God that He's going to be there too. So you can't let yourself get, you know, wore out by trying to make everything perfect all the time. Then the last one we looked at last week is culture changes everything. You know, it's culture that's very important. You know, this church has a culture, and we want the culture to always be engaging. We want it to be a positive, life-giving culture. We want it to be a culture where people come here and they feel like they've come in contact with God. I mean, that's our goal. It's not to, you know, exalt anybody or anything, but it's about trying to get us into the presence of God, and that's really what I think is important. The scripture that we looked at last week, we'll look at it from two different translations, and we're going to look at it today. New American Standard is the first one, then the Living Bible is the second one. It says, "By wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. And by knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches." And then in the Living Bible it says, "Any enterprise is built by wise planning, becomes strong through common sense, and profits wonderfully by keeping abreast of the facts." Let's pray. Father God, we thank You so much for Your anointing that's here today. Lord, to be able to stir up the gift inside of me, Lord, I pray that you enable me, Lord, by the power of your Spirit, to be able to hear from you and to be able to speak the things that you want me to say. Lord, I thank you for hearing ears today. I take authority over any disruption or disturbance. Lord, I thank you for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation and the flow of your life just to be here to each and every one of us, Lord. As we enter into this new year, Lord, we declare victory in 2019. And Lord, we're going to walk in your ways and not our ways. And Lord, we give you praise for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so the idea is to be a lifelong learner. Be a lifelong learner and be willing to go deeper in God. And to do that, we have to pursue wisdom. So my first point I want to look at today is to be a river and not a pond. Be a river and not a pond. What I feel in my life is that first, God extends his life to us, and then God extends his life through us. And we need to get to that point in our life where we're willing to be a vessel for God to flow through and not just for God to flow to. And see, we start out that way as a baby Christians, you know, because babies are selfish, aren't they? They're cute, but they're selfish. They don't think about usually anybody else but themselves. They want their bottle, they want their food, they want their diaper changed, they want to sleep, they want to be held. It's all about me. And see, as a baby Christian, sometimes we're like that, and it's okay. It's okay to let God flow to you and get built up and get your mind renewed and to get changed. But there comes that time in our walk with God where we've got to step out and start to let God flow through us and to be a vessel that God can use to be able to change other people's lives. So what happens is the fact that some Christians make the mistake, and they even make the mistake of transferring from being a pond, and then they become a reservoir, a bigger thing that just holds all the blessings to themselves. I remember when I was out in Denver at the church I was attending, one of the ladies got up there and she sang a song, and I don't know if she wrote it because I've never found it anywhere. It was called Fat Babies. And it was about Christians who would just sit there and just soak in the Word of God, and they'd be taught the Word of God, and they'd just keep taking in and keep taking in. Kind of like, how many like to go to buffets? Oh, don't hold your hand up. You know what I'm saying? But I mean, buffets are all right. But have you ever left a buffet so full you felt terrible? I mean, maybe you're better than I am, but sometimes I feel that way. You know, I don't know when to stop. You know, and see, that's what it's like sometimes. If we just keep taking the Word in, it's just almost like we're going to bust. And we got to let it out. We got to share the good news in whatever way, shape, or form that we can. You know, with our peers, with our friends, with our workmates, or maybe getting involved in being a teacher of children. You know, maybe you don't feel comfortable enough talking to adults about Jesus. That's how I started out. You know, I was shy. And so what I did is I started getting involved in the children's ministry. So I started telling kids about Jesus. I felt comfortable by that. And then through that process, I grew up, you know. And so maybe that's for you. You know, just start where you can, but start giving out. And you're going to find out as you put out, God is going to keep replenishing. He's going to keep filling you with more. And that's how it works. It multiplies. It's hard to explain. It's better experience, because if we're not careful, we'll become a dead pool where stagnant water is. And I've watched a lot of Christians. You know, I've been saved over 30 years and been in the church faithfully every week. You know, I just go. That's just the way it is. When I do something, I go after it. But with doing that, I started to watch people, and I started to see real religious people, people that had been there for years, and they weren't any smarter 10 years after they'd been there than the day they was there, because they just didn't get it. Don't be religious. Be a Christian. You know, let God be humble. Ask God to come into your life and to change you. Know that we need Him more than He needs us, but still God needs us. He wants to use us. He wants us to make a difference and impact on those around us. And we do it in a positive way. You know, so don't hang around naysayers or negative people and let them drag you down. You know, the Bible says we need to get into the flow. You know, John 7:38 says, out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Your innermost being is your spirit man, the inner man, the man that's inside of you and that wants to flow out of you and flow through you. And I'll tell you what, one of the greatest feelings that you're ever going to get in your life when you start to feel God use you. And if we get into that place where we allow God to use us, we're going to start to see the change start to transpire, you know, in the world around us. You know, the inflow blesses us, the outflow blesses others. And that's why we need to understand that the Holy Spirit is always looking for somebody to flow through. And that God has enough ponds in this planet, and He needs to see more rivers. So that's how we need to be. And if you're hanging around people on fire. Amen? Get involved with people. And that's what blessed me more than anything when I first got saved. You know, I gravitated towards the ones who were really excited about Jesus. And I started to hang out with them, and it rubbed off. And that makes a difference, better than the ones who try to hold you back. Secondly, we look at the idea is be a problem solver and not a problem maker. You know, Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Amen. So if we can become a problem solver in this life and have that attitude that we want to fix things and we want to make things better, our goal should be that when we're living this life, we should leave this place, everything we come in contact with, better off than it was when we got there. And if we do that, we're going to be successful. And that's walking in wisdom, God's wisdom. And then we're going to start to see the anointing flow. You know, anybody can find problems. I mean, I know we probably all know somebody that's a fault finder, a problem finder. I mean, they're like a bird dog. You know what I'm saying? I used to hunt when I was a kid. We had bird dogs, and you'd send the bird dog down the slough or whatever ahead of you, and that bird dog would go down and be sniffing around, and all of a sudden, whoop, went on point. The old tail got straight. Well, you just knew that there's some quail right there, because that bird dog knew how to find what it was that. But see, there's people in this world that know how to find fault. They're fault finders. I don't know why I'm picking on that today, but I just am. I can't help it. But we want to be free from that. Maybe you're in that negative flow. Maybe you have more of a tendency of seeing the problem than the solution. Ask God to help you change that, because God wants us to be better. He wants us to be able to be a fixer. And if we hear from God, we can start to operate in the wisdom that the Lord has. Because I know there's a lot of problems in this world. See, but human wisdom will not fix it. It'll only fix the symptom. It will not fix the heart, because wisdom from God gets to the heart of the problem and finds out why. See, human wisdom can fix the what, but God's wisdom can fix the why. And if we only fix the what, it's going to come back. But if we can fix the why, we're going to be healed and we're going to be set free. I don't know about you, but I've had a lot of problems in my life. I've had a lot of things that maybe didn't go the way that I wanted. I've had some things where I was looking at it from my life. Sure, I was right, but I found out I was wrong. And see, it took the wisdom of God to be revealed to me, to show me that I had to look at things differently. And I didn't take it personally, in the sense that I felt like, oh, you know, I'm stupid, I don't do anything right. That's not my personality. You know, my personality is more, hey, I need to fix this. You know, I like fixing things. And, you know, it's one thing to like fixing others, but it's another thing when you want to fix yourself. Come on now, right? That's a little harder, isn't it? Because then we have to get real with what it is that God wants us to do. And I encourage you to do that. You know, be the kind of person that you want to fix things. There's always a way out. And if not, God will make a way. Remember in the Bible, God, you know, led His people out of Egypt. And along the way, it looked pretty tough. And maybe you're in a life situation right now and it looks kind of hard. It doesn't look like you're going to make it to where God wants you to go, maybe to your promised land. But as we see in Scripture, when God's in it, God makes a way. You know, God parted the Red Sea. He'd never done that before. The people didn't know what they were getting into. They walked up to that large body of water and it looked hopeless, because Egypt was right behind them. And they probably couldn't, you know, I don't know about you, I wouldn't want to swim across the Red Sea. You know, I could barely save myself, you know. The grays aren't known for swimming, you know, and I'm a sinker. I don't float. You know, you'd think I would, but I don't. I sink. And, you know, God led them there, and it looked hopeless. And maybe you feel God's led you into something that looks hopeless. Then God made a way. They didn't turn back. They kept going after God. And God made a way. They think, whoa. Then they went to the promised land. Well, they got in a little unbelief, took some bad counsel from the 10 instead of the 2. You know, they walked for 40 years and the new generation come up. Well, God made a way again. He says, I'm taking you over there. There's giants over there. Not to mention, there's a river. So what did God do? God made a way. God parted the river. They walked through. They went into where they're supposed to be. So don't think God can't make a way. God can always make a way. So we need to make sure that we're walking in wisdom and being where we're supposed to be, and we know that God's going to make a way. I don't know about you, but when it comes to fixing things, have you ever had somebody tell you, oh, you can't do that? To me, that's challenge accepted. You know what I mean? That's just the way I'm wired. You know, my dad growing up, I farmed for him. I look at it, we farmed together. We worked together side by side, but he was the boss. And sometimes, I mean, he's a lot smarter than I am. He knew a lot more than I did. So we tell him, we can't do that. Oh, yes, we can. I didn't care how long it took me, but I did it. I wanted to do it. So can't shouldn't be in our vocabulary. You know, maybe God might say, not now. I can accept that now as I've gotten older. But can't, you know, don't let can't get in your way. You know, working, and that's where it comes in, the fact that we got to be careful around negative people if they're in our inner circle. You know, Jesus had an inner circle. You know, he had James, Peter, and John, wasn't it? They were the three that kind of he hung out with the most. You know, Peter was a little dicey from time to time, wasn't he? He'd always come up with some wild ideas and things like that. But, you know, primarily, you know, he surrounded him with people, you know, because he wanted to impart to them. And everybody has an inner circle. I mean, we all know each other here a little bit. Me, most people probably know each other. We shake hands, say howdy doody, and all that. But primarily, some of y'all go home, and then you have your, I don't want to say it's a clique. It's not a clique. We don't do cliques, right? But you have your inner sanctum, people that you let get close to you. Don't let a negative person be close to you. Look at them as a ministry. Don't look at them as somebody that speaks to your life, because they'll pull you back and hold you from your destiny. Pray for them, minister to them, and look for God to help them change, because we all can have a negative flow from time to time, especially if life hasn't been fair. How many been there? But, you know, turn that around. Let's get into flow that how big is our God, not how big is our problem. Amen? All right, now, lastly, learn to ask the right questions. Now, this is something that we fail to do sometimes, is to, when we get into a situation or circumstance, whatever you're in your life, there's always an opportunity to learn things, right? That's why we always got to be continually learning, no matter what comes into our life. You know, I know, and to be honest, you know, not everything that comes into our life is from God. I believe there is a devil. And the devil does try to steal, kill, and destroy. He tries to bring things in our life to try to hold us back through whatever case or whatever way he can, through discouragement and disappointment and all these things that come, you know, everybody faces these things. But what are we going to do in those situations? This is where we can kind of spin it to our favor. You know, the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, and it says, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. Now, we know that God loves everybody, but not everybody loves God back, right? I mean, I think we'll all say that because Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Well, there you go. We can figure that out real quick, can't we? Well, this is talking here, when you get into a situation, whether it's a test from God or a temptation from the devil, God, what can I learn from this? What can I learn from this situation? That comes back to want to walk in wisdom, wanting to learn from this problem. So the first question that we would probably ask is, God, what do you want me to see? So when you're facing a problem, you're facing a circumstance, or it might be a blessing. Maybe you've just been blessed. You know, we should, you know, try to be a blessing in life, right? And not a curse. You know, so if you can't be a blessing, at least don't be a curse, right? You know, that should be our first goal. But God, what do you want me to see in this situation? You know, are you trying to show me something? It might just be an experience or whatever. But God, what do you want me to see? And it might show you something. It might be show you something inside of you or something around you that you can maybe make a difference in. You know, so anything we can learn from. Secondly, after God, what do you want me to see? Then it's God, what do you want me to know? God, are you wanting to reveal something to me? Something on the inside of me? Something that you want me to know about the future? What you've called me to do? Or those around me, how I can maybe impart some wisdom to help them? Maybe I've been through this problem already and I have some insight. So maybe I can speak life into somebody else's life to help them through a problem. You know, so they don't have to maybe feel the pain. Now, I know that sometimes, you know, we learn stuff the hard way, don't we? And there's some things, you know, you just go through it. You just go through it. You don't have to stay there, but God will bring you through it. And, you know, it's like that, you know, with our kids. You know, we'd like to spare our kids all the problems in the world, wouldn't we? I mean, most parents would, you know, unless they really irritate you, then maybe you might not. But, you know, they learn through going, letting them go through some stuff. Letting them figure it out, you know. Let them get close to God. And let them figure out, you know what's God doing here. And we can counsel them through that. You know, not just be there to save the day every day. You know, that's what God does. We're not Superman. He's super God. Amen. All right, so we looked at first at God, what do you want me to see? Then God, what do you want me to know? And lastly, might be God, what do you want me to do now? How do I respond? You know, do I just left this? I do remember, and I'll just be honest. You know, I've said this before, that sometimes in life when things, you know, would maybe not go the way that I thought they would, or maybe I get discouraged, and, you know, and maybe me and the missus weren't getting along all the way that we should have, you know what I'm saying? And we had a disagreement about something, we didn't have an argument. We just disagreed a lot, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, you go through them things, and it's so easy just to not learn through it. I just remember that I just knew that if I just waited, I could wait this thing out. And as I waited it out, you know, it would be over soon and things would be fine. And so I allowed that to happen for a while. Finally, it dawned on me, you know, why wait? You know, it's kind of like in the book of Exodus, you know, when Pharaoh had all the frogs, you know, problem. He had frogs all around and had big problems. I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm not big on frogs in the house and stuff like that. But Pharaoh, you know, Moses went to him and Pharaoh says, yeah, I want free from this. And Moses says, when do you want free? Moses said tomorrow. Pharaoh said tomorrow. I mean, why not today? It dawned on me, why not today? Why wait? So I was going through life and I knew that if I waited this thing out, whether it's a week or 2 weeks, that everything would be okay. But finally, I got to the realization, God, what are you trying to show me here? Am I the one with the problem? Hello? Am I the one that maybe needs to change the way I look at things? All these years, I thought it was my wife. But am I got problems? Is there something you want to show me that I can do to change? And see, that's when things change, is when we're willing to accept the fact that we need to turn some of these thick situations around. And I started to ask God the right questions. And that was transforming. So those are three things that we can do maybe to try to walk in wisdom this year. Learn to ask the right questions and also be a problem solver and not a problem maker. And then lastly, to be a river, not a pond. And that's what I want us to see. And that's why I'm going to go into this next series about the call, you know, God's purpose for our life. Because I do believe that God wants to flow through many of you. And I believe that 2019 is going to be a year that you start to experience God in a way that you never have before. Now, I'm going to tell you something. One of the greatest feelings that I ever get in my life, and I've had a few, is the anointing of God. When the anointing, we don't feel it all the time, but when you feel God starting to use you, you know, it's addictive. You know, I'll be honest, I'm an anointing addict. I have an addiction. I just love the presence of God. And when I get into that place, I just know what God's doing. And the most amazing thing is when we finally get to the place where we see that God has done something through us. I just remember starting out the first time, because I didn't think I could do anything for God. I knew me. But the first time that I yielded to God, and then God used me, it just totally expanded my revelation of what my Heavenly Father is all about, what Christianity really is. And my goal as a pastor is that everybody that has contact with us at the River gets to feel that for themselves. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray.